Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Join me, your host, Susie Bonham Craig, and my esteemed guest, Dr. Peter Rogers, as we embark on another journey to open the portal of wisdom. I invite you to participate in the chat room, and please call in with your questions and comments on 718-305-6584. And now, our journey begins. Soulmates and journeyers, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Today is Sunday, October 25th in the year 2009, and I'm really excited about the show that we're bringing to you this evening. Our special featured guest is Dr. Peter Rogers, and what we're going to be discussing today is a rather very intriguing journey that we'll be taking with Dr. Peter on the new book that he has just published called The Ultimate Truth, Book One. And that already incites that there's more to follow with this. And as we embark on our spiritual journeys here, Dr. Peter Rogers has some very significant information to share with us in helping us find our ultimate truth. And I just want to give you a little bit of information about Dr. Peter. He's a light worker, a life coach, motivational speaker, metaphysician, spiritual practitioner, and an ordained minister. And he's also the founder of Truth Dynamics, which is a spiritual counseling service, and co-founder, CEO, president, along with his wife, Elsa, of a nonprofit organization called PELSA, which assists recovering persons with support services. And Dr. Peter has been studying spirituality and metaphysics for over 20 years. And received a doctorate of divinity in spiritual counseling, as well as a doctorate in philosophy and metaphysical sciences from the University of Metaphysical Sciences. He currently resides in Long Beach, California, where he actively serves on various service-based committees. I need to tell you, listeners, that I've never seen anyone more involved with the raising of the consciousness of humanity on the levels that Dr. Peter has. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Peter to join us for this intriguing journey. Welcome, Dr. Peter.
Hi, Susie. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. And I'm really excited about taking this journey with you. And just so that our listeners know, Dr. Peter is now a member of our Conscious Author Series. And what Wisdom Wide Open Radio is trying to do is to bring about personal stories and of people who have actually put this down in writing about their journeys. And I believe they all reach a pinnacle, a point where now the sharing begins. And it's something that actually flows divine through us. So, Dr. Peter, I'd like to start out with that and just give our listeners a little insight into what sparked your journey, you know, 20 years ago.
I would have to say that something within my spirit just didn't quite feel as if I was being told everything that was necessary in which for me to evolve into the spiritual conscious being that I am today. Much of what I had been taught and what I had been shown as a child growing up was strictly based in doctrine. It was based in more or less do as I say, not as I do. And so I reached a point early on when I started to feel a lot of discomfort within my own being. And a lot of times it's in those situations, it's when the awakening starts to, or should I say the quickening starts to take place. And then it's hard to describe what happens from that point. But for me, it was just a matter of not being comfortable with the status quo and feeling as if something just wasn't quite right in the world of my reality, in the world of religion, and in the world that I was seeing that was being presented to me. So it was then that I set out on this quest, and that quest started in the form of an unquenchable desire for knowledge. And I devoured books. I read book after book after book after book. And with each book, another piece of the puzzle kind of fit into place. And so I started to get this clearer image or this clearer picture of why I was here and what my purpose here is. And it wasn't until I was able to actually let go of all my conditioning, all my preconceived notions, all my false teachings, it wasn't until then that I was able to actually start realizing that I have a greater purpose here, and that purpose is to know the truth so that I can disseminate it and be a vessel for this truth to those people that I come in contact with throughout this journey. So that started probably at the age of 19, maybe 20 for me, and it's been 20 years since.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, there was something there that you felt there was discomfort and things that hadn't resonated with you and your spiritual being. At 19, though, how did you know that you were on a quest for your spiritual being? Like, how did you know it was your spiritual being that you were not, wasn't being able to be expressed, or things that you weren't resonating with? I mean, we often speak of the teacher appearing when the student is really ready, and some people are awakened, you know, by some conscious aha that they have during often truly adverse situations in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened prior to that, if you wouldn't mind going back a little bit, that really invoked,
absolutely,
you know, your...
Well, I'll tell you, Susie, what happened for me was, you mentioned an aha moment. For me, it wasn't just one incident that actually made that light come on. For me, it was just like you said, it was a series of incidents where I actually felt so out of balance. I felt so out of alignment with my oneness and with the truth of who I am, that I actually sunk into I guess I could call it a mild depression. And throughout that depression, I started to experience drugs, because drugs kind of took me out of my existence. It took me out of the reality, which was, in a sense, it was painful for me. So I always believe that there has to be a catalyst. There has to be something in which to spark that thing inside of us that needs to be expressed. And so I delved into drugs for some years, and you mentioned adversity, quite naturally using substances and becoming, becoming a subservient to the substances was really a journey. It's almost like sometimes when the ancients or the natives would go into certain postures and they would go into certain rituals that would allow them to go into the shadow self and look at the darker aspects of our being in order to juxtapose that or to compare that to the light. Because you have to know one in order to know the other, because there's a difference there. And if there's no difference posed, then you won't seek to have something other than what you're experiencing. So I chose the route of substance abuse. And needless to say, it took me on a journey that was way beyond my wildest imagination. And it was in going through those dark periods, it was in going through those points in my life where I was probably at my lowest. They call it the dark night of the soul, that I realized that from there, once I started to reach upward and once I started to seek the light and shine the sunlight of the spirit on these ailments and this dis-ease within my spirit, that it would be then that I would able to be a much better vessel and a much better teacher to those people that have also experienced that and are still experiencing those types of situations. So prior to actually me getting on this quest and starting to study, I was heavily immersed in darkness and substance abuse.
Okay, and then came that point of, was it resonation? Was it surrender? What was it for you? Was there something that came into your life that just turned the lights on?
It was, for me, it was the spiritual process of, as you said, surrender. And for anybody who has ever experienced any kind of substance abuse or anything, any type of addiction to whatever it is, the surrender has to come first. And so when I was introduced to what we call the recovery process, which is really just a process of recovering, getting back that which was lost or stolen, and getting back in alignment with the true essence and the true spirit and the oneness and the consciousness, and once I was able to get introduced to this process, which talks about becoming one with spirit and utilizing spiritual principles on our journey, it was at that point that I decided I needed to fully succumb to my spiritual being, because as a human being, or as a spiritual being rather, having a human experience, I have to address the spiritual aspect of my being, in which at that point the physical and the mental and the emotional will all come into alignment. So it was then that I decided to focus most of my energies into developing my spiritual awareness.
Okay, and you speak of reading. You're an avid reader. So a lot of the information that you picked up along your journey, was this, how did this transcend for you? Was it something that, you know, you picked up a book and then something resonated, or you actually went ahead and sought everything that you could seek out? Because I think that's what happens to a lot of us. Mm-hmm. We start to bombard ourselves with the information we want, mm-hmm. this quest for knowledge to really be quenched. So, mm-hmm. you know, what was it that you did first? Was it reading? Was it getting your hands on material? Was it going to workshops? What was it that really, you know, invoked this whole process to open up for you?
Okay. Well, I think initially, in fact, I know initially what happened for me was there was that internal question or that internal soul cry, and I wanted to know. I think we all have that question. It's a wanting to know. It's a desire to understand, what is my purpose here and why am I here? Why am I having these experiences? What is the meaning of it? What is the deeper meaning of it? And it was in that very initial soul cry, that true soul cry that I sent out to the universe to teach me, to expose me to whatever it is that it would have me know in the form of teachers, books, workshops. And so I started off reading, and with each book that I read, I believe the very first book that I ever read that touched that part of me, that made me understand that that I was something much greater than I perceived myself to be, was it was a book by Norman Vincent Peale called The Power of Positive Thinking. And after I read that book, I started to feel that there was a much greater power that resided within me other than or aside from what I was told about. And then the next book I read, which led me onto this true quest, was The Greatest Salesman in the World by Ogmandino, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with sales. But once I read those books, each book thereafter, again, provided me with just another piece to the puzzle. And with each book, I started to understand that a lot of what I was reading comes from the spirit. And so I began this process of looking within myself. So I started a practice of meditation. I started a practice of channeling from my higher spirit guides. And a lot of the information, a lot of what I hold to be true today, comes directly from Source. And even though I may read a book, Source has typically directed me to that book by way of someone mentioning it, by way of it coming as a recommendation, by way of it drastically falling off the bookshelf in the bookstore at my feet. So it started off, Susie, with an initial desire, a yearning to know more, to know the truth, and to be shown the truth without having it being taught to me by people that have been misinformed. So for the last 20 years, everything that I've ever been taught has come from workshops, has come from lectures, has come from books, has come from primarily my own process and my own practice of looking within to that which resonates, to that which feels right, to that which is conveyed to me directly from Source.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, at this point now, after this 20-year quest, there is a point that you faced inside of you where, and I hear this a lot from many authors specifically about, you know, why they chose to write a book or why they chose to now come out and be able to share their experiences, and most of them say that they had no choice. Was that how it was for you?
I would have to agree with that. It's something. There's something very distinct about authors and people who, especially who do the work that you and I are doing, that there's just something very discomforting about knowing this information, about being given and being provided with this life-changing, enlightening spiritual information and keeping it to oneself. It's like, what's the purpose? And so I remember asking myself, I've read countless books. I mean, I've gone through so many different books. I have all this information, and it's kind of like the parable of the cup running over. It's like you have to continue to pour more out in order to receive more in. So I started thinking, I've got all this information, and what is it for? Who is it benefiting? And it was at that time that I realized that I was pretty much here for the purpose of being a channel and for being a teacher and a light worker and for providing people with all of this information that I have that I've been given directly from Spirit. Otherwise, what's the use? Why am I keeping this information for myself? Because it's about service. It's about helping others to achieve and reach their greatness. It's not just about me receiving this, but it's more or less about me giving back freely all this information that was given to me. So I'd have to agree, there's something about knowing information that we know is divine revelation and holding it to oneself that just doesn't quite set well with me. So I had no choice. I've been wanting to write this book. I talk in the introduction of the book of how this book has been coming into fruition over the last 20 years or so. 10 years ago, I attempted writing it. It was more based on, it was more autobiographical. But then at that time, I thought, who cares about me? Who wants to know about my life? Who am I really? And so I wasn't ready. It was a premature attempt to push out a book that wasn't ready to be pushed out. And so 10 years later, after, you know, countless other books and workshops and intuition and meditation, I decided, or Spirit decided, that the book should be presented not so much in just an autobiographical format, but based upon my life experiences so that it would carry the depth and the weight that it needed to carry in order to touch those souls that can also relate to some of my experiences and see where I've come from having these experiences to where they could also go.
Mm. Well, in referencing reaching out and touching those souls, there's something different about your book with regard to the things that you delve deep into. It's not just about spiritual practice. You call it being a chip off the old block of divinity. And I had to laugh at that only because a lot of people think divine, they think God. And then we have all of our predetermined or indoctrinated beliefs about who God is or what God is or what divine essence is or what our own divinity is. And you delve deep into, you know, the process of how we went from ancient religions and carrying this through and the difference between religion and occult. So can we touch upon what happened there? What happened to the religion that we all these universal messages all started out with?
Well, and it's a sensitive subject because there are a lot of people who actually subscribe to organized thought systems and religions, and that was one of the issues that I had, was that being a vessel and an instrument of truth, it's uncomfortable to feel or to hear something that's not quite in alignment. And when I hear stuff that is being postulated through world religions, through certain belief systems and doctrines that is not quite in alignment with the truth, then what happens is I had to expound upon them in the book. And to answer your question, I think what happened was, in fact, I know what happened was that there was an original cause. And throughout the ages, countless belief systems, countless religions, have taken the original cause, which they then, impressed upon it the way they want people to believe and understand the religion to be, which diverts them away from the true cause and the oneness of who they all are. Because if we were to become aware, if you and I become aware of the power that we possess as spiritual beings, as that spark of the divine, then chances are, and people are aware of this, chances are what will happen is people will no longer live in fear. People will no longer seek to find something outside of themselves to help provide them with what they would consider a savior or something that would prevent them from some eternal damnation. People would understand that we are eternal beings and we are divinity in our own right, and that we have manifested our lives here on this planet in which to expand and to grow, not to be hindered by or encased in some type of limited world view or religion that deprives one of their true power and of their true divinity. So I think what happened is over the ages and throughout the years, religion has sought to usurp that power from people, from man, by giving them false teachings, by giving them distortions or distorted versions of the truth so that they could know or we could never actually ascend into our greatness and our power and our oneness, because the elect few were the ones who wanted to know this power. So that power then becomes withheld, that the truth becomes esoteric, it becomes occult knowledge, that only a few, only the select can know about this, because for fear of others becoming like the quote-unquote gods. And so I think religion has basically taken the true concepts of spirituality and who we are as spiritual beings and diluted it and concealed it.
And speaking of concealment, now you mention also in the book about the organizations that exist in our current realities today here on Earth, and with regard to a lot of what the media or other people have related to the elite organizations, that you do profess that they understand how the universe works, mm-hmm. but they're utilizing these energies in a manipulative fashion. And my question, I guess, is if we're to understand who we really are and really acknowledge the power that we have, and we start moving in the direction of, redirecting the collective energy mm-hmm. Into a more positive and benevolent type of framework, what happens when the people that are in the know and are moving in one direction, and then the people who are in the know and moving in another direction, what do you think happens?
Well, if I'm understanding the question correctly, if people are coming into a vibration that is benevolent, and people are starting to ascend and raise their understanding to be on one accord, which is to be in alignment with that which is the light and that which is good and benevolent and powerful and loving, when that vibration, when that tone is set, whether people are in the know and have sought to conceal it from others, or whether the masses now start to hone into that vibration, what will happen is that vibration, that frequency, will begin to expand to the degree that it will basically encompass anything that is not of that frequency. It's what's called inductance. A lot of what Greg Braden talks about mm-hmm. is about resonance. It's about when the frequency and the vibration becomes the prevailing and the predominant thought process, when it becomes the prevailing energy, that vibration will obliterate anything that is opposing to it.
Okay, now do you suppose, because I know I certainly feel it, and, you know, I think most of us relate to this as the shift, you know, right. The shift in consciousness and awakening to our true selves, but how do you relate the sense of urgency that a lot of people are feeling with now trying to fix or change or shift these energies?
Mm-hmm. I think what is happening is that a lot of the ancient tribes, the Dogons, the Hopis, the Mayans, they all pretty much predicted based upon astrological markers that certain shifts would occur. And those shifts generally are shifts in awareness and shifts in consciousness. A lot of times people speak of it in terms of end of days, when in reality all we're really talking about is the paradigm shift. We're talking about the consciousness that has been held over the last several centuries that has to shift. You can no longer continue to keep the same pattern of behavior and conduct when the masses begin to shift their awareness up to the point where the planet now starts to feel that power and that vibration, and everyone gets into this accord and onto this level of awareness whereby the old paradigm has to fall away, and the new paradigm, the new shift, which is what's happening today, which is a wonderful and beautiful time for us to experience this shift. It's taking place now, and it's felt as an urgency, and the urgency, I would think, comes from those that are desperately trying to keep this knowledge, to keep this awareness, to keep this consciousness from coming into full being, to full blossom, so that urgency becomes that need to keep people away from this knowledge as much as possible, so that they will not be exposed for having done this manipulation, for having concealed and usurped and plagiarized the true power from the very beginning. And so this urgency is a resistance coming from the few that are in the know and the masses that are slowly beginning to awaken into this new consciousness.
Okay, and with that said, you know, there are people on their spiritual journeys that have reached a point of where that they feel the spiritual guidance that they're receiving is to really go about and awaken the world, mm-hmm. awaken the world about what is actually going on, these indoctrinations, mm-hmm. and the force rather than the power, you know, being pressed upon us. So I guess what I'm asking is, you know, when I think about Buddha and the quote that comes through that the universe is unfolding exactly as it should,
mm-hmm.
So can you kind of explain the dichotomy that some people are facing out there? Well, you know, if we understand the laws of the universe, mm-hmm. and that what we focus on expands, if we pay attention to bringing and awakening the world by pointing out what's wrong, you know, how do we move that energy and move away from, you know, I guess it's great to speak to someone who's really not in the know, who maybe hasn't had a personal awakening. Mm-hmm. And I believe that all of us on different levels are catalysts to other people's growth. But it's about reaching them. It's about reaching them at a point of their understanding. And you do bring that up in the book about, you know, this is a quest for understanding. So in bridging the gap and that understanding about what we should focus on and what we shouldn't focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just express maybe what you have to share on that that could shed some light?
Sure. When you mentioned earlier the laws of the universe, many of the people who have a spiritual practice, who have become somewhat conscious to and attuned with, rather, the universe, we all know and understand that we create our own realities. And we know that with each of us, there is a vibration, a power, an energy that we emit out into this world in which we live, out into the universe, out into the ethers. And so the more of us that become aware of that and conscious of that, we begin to become as close to that as possible. We become connected to it. We become aligned with it. So what we start to feel and believe and want to see and manifest in our reality becomes the picture picture that we would want to have displayed, rather than the picture that has been foisted upon us, a picture of war and famine and lack and limitation. So for those of us that are having this type of consciousness, this higher consciousness, we begin to start projecting, emitting, and feeling this vibration that is conducive to an environment in a world where everyone is equal, and there is no limitation, there is no lack, there is no division, there's no separation. It's all a part of the one great spirit. And so what happens is we understand that when we focus on that, when we think about it, we magnify that. And so the more people that become aware of this type of prayer, this type of thought energy, that becomes the tone, that becomes a frequency. So we want to think about, we always want to concentrate on those things in which we would like to see manifested, as opposed to what is actually happening in the reality. Because, and it's kind of tricky, Susie, because in order to address something, we have to look at what's happening, and we have to look at what it is that we would like to see changed. But the problem with that is that if we focus on the way things currently are, if we continue to look at the way things are, things that we don't want to see manifested in our reality, such as the war, such as the lack, limitation, disease, illnesses, all these things that we would like to see, that we would like to transcend, rather, we're giving that our attention. We're giving that our energy and that vibration. And consequently, what happens is, even though we would like to see something else manifest, that's where our attention is going. So it becomes somewhat of a paradox, because I don't want to see this reality. I don't want to continue to see this manifest in the world. But yet, I have to look at it because I need to know what I don't want. And so you have to be very careful about focusing. We have to be very careful about focusing our attention on the things that we don't want to see, such as the wars, because we fuel the war when we do that. When we focus on things that we would like to see, we would like to rid our planet of, we're giving that more vibration. We're giving that more energy. So I would think what would have to happen is, for those of us who are aware, is to enlighten and educate people that we come in contact with, that we are not to give our attention, not one iota, to anything that we would not like to see manifested on this planet. So we have to only focus and concentrate our energies on a beautiful planet, a world of love and peace and joy and happiness, and all the things and the fulfillment and the wholeness of the spirit that we would like to see as our manifested reality. So that's kind of where I'm at with this. It's more along the lines of the law of attraction and the law of growth.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. I do agree. And I think oftentimes, you know, when more things come up, we really have to take a look inside and really see why even these, you know, the duality is showing up in our lives. There's more that we need to move in the direction that we want to go, because those things are still prevalent in our consciousness. But what I guess I'd really like to find out from you, Dr. Peter, is your feeling or your knowing, based on this benevolent paradigm that we're all, that's unfolding and that we're moving to, where does acceptance come in?
Well, acceptance is key. Acceptance is very critical to anyone who's seeking to evolve, because the antithesis of acceptance would be resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime we're in resistance, we're not in the state of allowing. And any time that there's something we would like to see manifested, any time we would like to see something come into fruition, it has to come with an acceptance of the all. And what that means is that if there's something that we don't like, if there's something that I don't like about a certain situation, if I resist it, then that power, that energy that I'm giving to it is only going to allow it to increase. Because whatever you resist, persist. I mean, we hear that all the time. So it would behoove me, it would behoove anyone else to, rather than to resist something, rather than to fight against something, which I'm striving against it, simply allow it, simply accept whatever the situation is, accept it for what it is. And in that acceptance, what tends to happen is I loosen or I soften my grasp on it. And in doing that, I'm no longer feeding a resistant power towards it, which only grows stronger and stronger. The acceptance of everything as it is truly a state of love. It's a state of being in total and complete harmony and acceptance of all that is exactly as it is supposed to be, knowing full well that the universe is constantly working out everything in the exact way that it should. And so that acceptance simply becomes an agreement. It becomes an accordance. It's a harmony with exactly having things the way they should be.
All right, so that resonance and that harmonic with love is actually what shifts and changes this paradigm.
Absolutely.
And acknowledging, you know, that we are all a part of this. And, you know, it's interesting because earlier on you were speaking about the journey that you took and things that didn't resonate with you. And I know there are many of us on this earth that even at young ages could tell that difference. There was still something, like you said, it was a recalling, a recognition of who we truly are. There were sparks of that divinity that ran through us and showed us the difference between the ease and the dis-ease that we were feeling. And so obviously we want to encourage people to really go back to remembering those states, remembering those instances in their lives when they second-guess themselves in different situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the essence of the word for anyone to recover. It's to get back. It is to go back. And I often, in my counseling sessions and when I'm working with people in workshops, I often tell people, go back as far as you can recall after coming into this incarnation, into this manifested physical being, and then at that point let's go further back and try to get into a point where we were one, we were essence in our true spiritual source as our higher selves. We actually came here elected to come here, and people have a hard time grasping this. We actually elected to come here to this planet to have these experiences. So here's the thing, why would it be that you knew full well as your God essence, as the oneness, you had the higher intelligence, higher consciousness, you knew that you would have to have these experiences in your life as this personification of yourself in order to collectively garner the experience that comes along with each situation we find ourselves in, whether it's a lesson of love, whether it's a lesson of patience, whether it's a lesson of forgiveness. These are lessons that have materialized in our lives, in our physical lives, on a certain level in order for us to get that which we came here for. So we pretty much set ourselves in place to have these experiences. So what sense would it then make for you to resist it? What sense would it then make for you to not accept everything exactly as it is, knowing full well that it is for your benefit and your greater good?
Mm. Now, do you believe that people who really experience truly adverse situations in their life, that the dark night of the soul, that the deeper it goes, the darker it gets, the ability to spring forth is much stronger? Do you believe in that energetically?
I do, because, again, I mentioned having experienced a dark night of the soul. And I'll tell you, had I not had that depth in my low point, then the peaks would not have been as high. Because in order to experience high points, or I would believe high spirituality, I have to know for myself, what is the opposite? What are the dark points? What are the lower points? So when we reach what we call a dark night of the soul, from that moment, from that point, you can only transcend that. You can only ascend into a higher understanding. And I think the purpose that serves is that now my scope, my reach becomes much more vast, because I have that range, you know, on the octave, on the scale. There's the highs and there's the lows. And as much as I've been able to expand between the highs and the lows, I think it gives me that much more of a broader reach. And anytime the universe is seeking to utilize someone to be an instrument of light, to be a vessel, to be a messenger, so to speak, those individuals have usually, in most cases, reached some very, very dark points in their lives, some very, very deep adversity that has allowed them to now be able to connect with people on that level. Because think about it. If I had not had the experiences that I've had throughout my life, chances are I wouldn't be able to, as you say, resonate in the hearts and minds of those people that need to hear that, people who have had those similar experiences. So my purpose and my goal is to now reach out to those people who have had some of the same adversities and who can now see the transition, who can now see how the light and how spirit and how love and how higher consciousness can allow them, as it has for me, to reach a point in their lives where they no longer have to be hindered by the adversity and yet use it as a foundation in which to grow from. So I
think that, and yes, okay, so in our exploration now, there needs to be some kind of desire that spurs from us to be willing to do that with regard to our emotions and mm-hmm. willing to really explore the depths of our emotions. And a lot of people call that healing. Let's bring mm-hmm. this up for healing. What are your views on that?
I believe that everything that we have come here for, again, when we talk about recovery, and I don't want to keep focusing this on recovery, but I think in a broader aspect, it's all recovery for us. You don't mm-hmm. have to have experienced some type of substance abuse or addiction to something to be recovering. We are all basically trying to get back to our essence. We are all basically trying to get back to our oneness. And so what happens is when we come and we have these experiences that cause blemishes on our spirit, on our soul, then what happens is we continue now to function throughout life with those wounds. And so a lot of our lives, a lot of our actions, a lot of the things that we do are dictated by those experiences. And until we go back and we heal them, meaning to heal is to basically look at a situation for what happened, garner the lesson from it, forgive from it, love from it, shine the light on it, and allow those individuals, those situations that have been the instrument or the catalyst in which to bring us these lessons, allow ourselves to release them in love, then now that situation can no longer hold us in bondage. Those situations can no longer keep us held back from fully expressing the wholeness and the beauty and the wonder of who we are as divine beings. So healing is critical. Healing is about people realizing that if I'm in a relationship, an intimate relationship, the individual that I'm in the relationship with today, 9 times out of 10 is subjected to past grievances. They're subjected to past situations that have occurred in relationships leading up to that one. So in reality, the relationship present day will never fully receive the fullness of who I am until I first go back and address those fragmented aspects of myself that have come through other relationships. The person who I'm with today will constantly be in a state of mistrust, fear because of what happened previously. So I need to heal. We need to heal these wounds, these fragmented parts of ourselves in order to be whole and complete today.
Mm. Wow. Well, you know, that's true in the sense I experienced that in my own life, you know, and when people ask me who my mentors are, I often say the people who gave me the most grief. And that's the way I looked at it, you know, at that point. But they were really the vehicles for my teaching, for my own opening and my own awakening. And, you know, in moving forward, if we don't take those lessons that, you know, when you say garner the lessons, you know, and receive them in love, forgive them. So forgiveness is a really big part of that as well. Now, I just want to take a moment to break and just let our listeners know, if you are visiting the show page, I'd like to you'd be able to find more information about Dr. Peter by clicking on his picture or on the book cover of The Ultimate Truth, Book 1, and that will take you to his website. And I do want to discuss a little bit about Dr. Peter. We actually have some questions in the chat room, and I'm having a difficulty typing in there. For some reason, my computer's not allowing that. But one of the questions, if you wouldn't mind answering before we get to some of your programs and what it is that you're doing right now, is it really necessary to get that spiritual awakening? I mean, would there be people in this lifetime, in their lifetime, that just won't rise to the occasion?
Absolutely. And it's because of the original agreement that a lot of people have made with themselves, that this lifetime, this particular, it may take them several lifetimes to come into their awakening. Everyone comes into their spiritual consciousness and awakening when it's deemed necessary for them. So there are those people throughout this life that will never adhere to spirituality. They will always be live according to doctrine. They will always live according to the religious order. They just are not ready to receive higher consciousness. And it's not to say that they never will, because at some point we all awaken. It's just when. Some people have chosen to come here during this existence to pay a penance. So, and that may be to exist as a pauper or as a lower form of being. But at some point, everything has to awaken. Everything has to come into its fullness. It's the nature and the way of the universe. It's constantly expanding. And as beings, as spiritual beings, we too are constantly expanding. Whether or not this will be the lifetime, whether or not this will be the incarnation when that happens, is entirely up to that individual's or up to that soul's journey up to this point.
Yeah, so don't you think that we, you know, as this evolves and this benevolent paradigm that we're entering into, there we will be able to experience the improvement and the benevolence, but that duality will always remain to some extent so that we can spur our journey forward. I mean, isn't
I
that
agree.
What... Okay.
I agree. It has
okay.
to.
It has to. So is there a point that we're actually looking to reach as a collective where we're all really now in total peace?
I would say that would be the goal. But again, it's almost like how would we know what the light is if we were never exposed to the dark? How can we compare peace to something that if there's no disharmony? So I think to some degree there, in terms of duality, everything exists of an opposite. So I think to some degree, although peace may be the reigning order, I think that there would, in some cases, be some form to allow us to compare what our level of peace is, something to compare that to, rather.
Well, even, like, without knowing, and, I stand here often and say I'm okay with not being in the know all the time, because it's really, you know, about what we're not seeing mm-hmm. and what we evolve to, that maybe we could just... you know, look at attaining the goal of just how delicious, more delicious it's going to get,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than looking at what we're looking now and what that duality looks like, that the duality down the road is just going to be, you know, deliciousness and a little bit more deliciousness. I know that's
right.
What I'd like to focus on.
I love the way you use the word delicious. I know Abraham in his teachings, he uses delicious quite a bit. And it's interesting to have that word and to think in terms of how delicious it will be when we get to a point where the level of peace that we consider to be peace today will be far surpassed in the future. And so imagine if what we consider to be peace today, in the future, this form of peace would be the duality. In other words, we would want to continue to expand beyond what we know to be peace. So what we consider to be today, war, in the future, if we continue as visionaries to expand upon peace and the perfect world that we would like to exist in, then what will happen is the duality will never reach that far end of the pendulum, meaning when we're talking about duality, we're talking about essentially one and the same thing, only different degrees of it or different aspects. So I guess my point that I'm trying to make here is that the pendulum, although it may swing further to the left for us now in terms of disharmony, as we continue to envision and picture and feel and desire and want to see a better world, then what will happen is that pendulum will swing further to the right. And swinging further to the right, it won't swing as far back to the left. So now what we're constantly doing is we're raising the level of awareness and we're raising the level of peace to where, as you said, it becomes this delicious sense of being and the sense of awareness that we won't see it to the degree that we are seeing it today. It will still be there to some degree, but not to this extreme.
Right, and I do. I feel that myself. I feel that in my own spiritual quest and journey and discovery that my life has become a lot less stressful. I mean, mm-hmm. if I look back 20 years ago and, you know, how I reveled in my life back then in that stress and saying, wow, what a difference this has made. So I know in my own evolution, you know, that that's out there for everyone and that mm-hmm. if we can, keep that constant movement and that constant, you know, energy flowing and opening to receive those divine gifts that, you know, express through all of us and recognize, like you said, that's the most important aspect of it. But I'd like to invite callers, if they do have questions, listeners, to please call in on 718-305-6584 and press 1 to enter the queue if you do have any questions or comments. In the meantime, Dr. Peter, I'd like to reflect a little bit about some of the programs that you have going on right now. And I know on your website you mentioned the Master Key System. Mm-hmm. And who's actually was, I don't know if it was devised by Charles F. Hennell, that's the way you pronounce it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1912, and that you actually used this system with mm-hmm. your clients. Could you explain a little bit about this particular program and,
Absolutely.
You know, how it benefits people?
Absolutely. During the turn of the century, there were some very, very powerful visionaries, to include Robert Collier, Charles Honnold, Prentice Mulford, Wallace Wattles. All these guys were New Age thinkers or New Thought thinkers that were basically immersed in the universal laws, a scientific approach to connecting with a universal power. And in 1912, Charles Honnold published a book called The Master Key System. Actually, before or prior to him publishing that book, he created 24 correspondence courses. And what he would then do is he would send each course every week to some of his colleagues, and they were so in awe by the power and the truth and the scientific approach to how they could improve their lives that they literally begged Charles Honnold not to publish the book, but understanding the law of growth and how the universe works, Charles Honnold decided to publish the book. And so in 1912, the book was published. Around 1933, the book had sold somewhere around 200,000 copies, which is phenomenal during that time.
Mm.
But subsequently, the Catholic Church got a hold of the book and became threatened by it. And much like with many of the other forms of information that would enlighten and free people, they banned the book. And so for the last 79 years, the book has been out of print, although it has been in circulation. Rumor has it that, in fact, Napoleon Hill, author of Think and Grow Rich, actually read the book and was able to do the things that he did. He wrote Charles Honnold a letter thanking him for the principles that he outlined in the book. Henry Ford also read the book, Think and Grow Rich, which was based upon the Master Key System. And then later in life, Bill Gates actually read the book while studying at Harvard and dropped out of college, decided that he wanted to have a computer on the desktop in every home in America, in the world, in fact. And based on this scientific approach, he was able to do what he's done thus far with Microsoft. And so in 2006, the book got republished. From that came such works as all the work, a lot of the things that you're hearing now and some of the teachers are derived from the very same principles that came from people like Charles Honnold and Wallace Wattles and Prentice Mulford. And even The Secret by Rhonda Byrne has instances in The Secret where they quote the book Master Key System. Anyway, having said all that, I understand how powerful the principles of the universe are. I understand that we are, through our subconscious mind, connected to this very power that has thought up and created everything in the world, in the universe, in the galaxies. And so the class that I give in the Master Key System basically allows people to go through all 24 of those courses and learn the principles that are outlined that will enable them to amass the abundance and the riches and the love and the beauty and the joy and all the fruits of the Spirit that they would like to have here on this planet. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, life-changing workshop.
Bar none. Bar none. Well, you know, we only have a few minutes left, Dr. Peter, and I, you know, to be honest with you, I'd love to invite you again because we just haven't covered enough of this, mm-hmm. and you know, to even explore a little bit deeper through your book, and being that it is new and it's out there, I encourage everyone, for those that are not on the show page and calling in, to listen. If you can find out more about Dr. Peter and be able to purchase the book and find out more about his programs and all the levels of spiritual consciousness rising that Dr. Peter's involved in at www.ultimatetruthbooks.com. And Peter, would you like to add anything to that with regard to maybe what's coming up while we have a couple of minutes?
Well, I would like to say this. What we didn't mention was a business that, or should I say a practice that I have called Truth Dynamics. And everything that I do, Susie, you'll probably notice, is all centered around truth. I'm working on a second book called Ancient Truth, and I have this whole series of books I want to write on truth. And so I started this practice called Truth Dynamics, and what it basically does is it allows people to receive direct life coaching, spiritual counseling via the telephone. If they're local, it would be here in person at my office. But for the most part, I have clients that are in different states, and they can simply call in, and just like we've had this conversation, they can basically talk about what they have questions on. And what we will do is together we will journey into spirit, and we will have spirit guides inform them of what it is that they need to know or that they've come for. And so I just wanted to make people aware of that, and they can also access that through www.ultimatetruthbooks.com under the counseling tab.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, I'm up for all that, so you'll be hearing from me shortly.
Great.
I am. I'm always looking to expand even further. And I just, you know, I love the time that we've spent together. And I must say, you know, that you really been able to bring this to light in a real, you have an uncanny way of really speaking through simplicity. And I can even feel how that comes through your heart and the amount of people. You know, there are some people out there that are guiding us spiritually where a lot of the verbiage they use and the understanding isn't quite there. It's a really hard thing to grasp sometimes. And I honor you because I know that you're able to reach a lot of people on a lot of different levels. So I want to commend you on that. And I want to congratulate you on your book and congratulate everyone out there who tuned in today, and hopefully you've expanded on your journey today, and I encourage you all to visit www.ultimatetruthbooks.com, and however you may purchase the book, get a hold of it, because it's a really, really good step in the journey of your own divinity. So I appreciate you being with us again, Dr. Peter, and I hope that you'll come back.
I look forward to it. I want to thank you so much, and I want to thank all the listeners and just wish you peace and blessings.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Peter. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today on the journey to finding your ultimate truth. And we hope that you'll tune in next week, and we look forward to being with you. Remember to find the joy in enjoying the journey. Bye-bye, everyone.